Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. If you're watching online, I want to say welcome to you. I see a lot of bright red, so let's give it up. Come on, just go ahead and cheer for your 49ers, okay? I hope you do well today. My prayer is that you just lose by a little bit, okay? You have to, I'm just joking. I hope you have a great time today. It'd be great to have the trophy back on the West Coast. And I was thinking, you know, I'm a Charger fan. We've only been to the Super Bowl a couple times and never won it ever. So I decided this week, if the Chargers are ever in the Super Bowl again, we're taking a special offering so I can go to that game. No, I'm just joking. Hey, as you find the book of Ruth in your Bibles, it's the 8th book from the front of your Bible in. We're in chapter 2 today. As you're finding that spot on your Bible app, just a couple quick reminders. After church today in the cafe, we are Zooming in with the young couple that we have in Osaka, Japan, doing some work there, Claire and Kyler Mallory. And the Higbees are going to be joining. The Higbees are here in the U.S. right now. They're part of the team that's over there in Osaka, Japan. There's Matt and Mai here in the room. Are you in the room today? Okay, stand up right there. Let's welcome them today. Okay, that's Matt and Mai Higbee, from a missionary from Osaka, Japan. It's great to have you guys. Great to have you here. We're going to be in the cafe, Zooming in, talking with them just to see how they're doing. They've been there 2 years now. The Mallards have been there 2 years, and we're just going to check in, see how the kids are doing, how the ministry's going, pray for them. If you want to join us, you can do that on the cafe. Wednesday night is our fun event. This is what we do every year. We've been doing it for 3 or 4 years. Just a fun time. Duds Dine and Dance. You know, you can buy a $10 ticket online. That we have a Holy Smoke Barbecue is doing. Isn't that a great name? Holy Smoke Barbecue. And because when you eat it, you go, man, holy smokes, that's really good. That's really good. Okay. That ticket is separate. It's $17 for dinner. We do have a few free tickets. If 17 is pretty steep for you, that's fine. Just give a call to the office and put your name on a list, and we'll get you some tickets so that you can have a great time on Wednesday night. So that's the announcements for this week. This morning, I want to look in Ruth chapter 2, because I want us to talk together this morning about walking in God's favor. Last week, we kind of looked at a tough subject of Naomi living in enemy territory for too long and how it changed her. This week, we're going to kind of flip the script, and we're going to talk about how do we walk in God's favor. And in chapter 2, Ruth becomes the focus of the chapter, because Ruth is someone that grew up in enemy territory and now has decided at the end of chapter 1, she's going to come to the promised land with Naomi, and she's going to follow God, and she's going to love God's people. So she's on a journey toward God. And what we're learning is that journeying toward God opens the door of His favor, We want to walk in God's favor. And this morning, we're going to see that Ruth had her part in walking in God's favor. She had to work hard. She had to take some wise initiatives. And she had to develop a really good reputation. That was kind of her role in walking in God's favor. And we're going to see God's role in His favor, granting His favor, how He creates divine appointments and direction, and how He brings strategic partners around Ruth to help her find protection and provision. So we're going to see this morning how God wants us to walk in His favor. Now, how many of us here this morning, we want to walk in God's favor? We want to say, you know what, Lord, whatever direction my life takes, just help it to be in the lane of Your favor. And we're going to find out this morning that there's parts that we play in that, and there's parts that God plays in that. Jesus talked about this, but in a different way. He didn't use the word favor or journey, but this is what He said in John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the vine, you are the branches. So He uses an agricultural metaphor. And He says, and he who abides in me and I in him will bear much what? Bear much fruit. In other words, that's Jesus's way of saying He wants your life to make an impact. He wants your life and He wants my life to be fruitful, It doesn't mean we're going to have a lot of money. It doesn't mean we're always going to get to the top of the corporate ladder. But it does mean we can make an impact for God in our lives and through our lives. Now, Jesus, just like we see in Ruth, puts the quantifies this by saying, he who abides in me and I in him. That's this relationship. That's another way of saying journey with me. It's not a journey on your own. It's not a journey away from me. It's me and you and me, us working together to accomplish this path of his favor, this path of his favor. So let's go to Ruth chapter 2. We're going to get a backdrop sentence here in verse 1. It says this, now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was what? Boaz. This is the first time we are introduced to Boaz in the story. And he is a relative of Naomi, but Naomi has forgotten that. And Boaz is described here as a man of great wealth. He's like the rich uncle in the family. Don't we all want a Boaz in our family? The first thing that we're going to notice is that Ruth has her role in walking in God's favor. So let's pick apart the first part of the chapter, and we're going to glean some truths about Ruth's role in walking in God's favor. And it's going to show us today how we too can position our lives to walk in his favor. Let's go to verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I might find favor. And Naomi said to her, go, my daughter. Now, if you keep your finger in Ruth, let's go back three or four books to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus is a book that Moses wrote describing how to live life for God as a Jewish person in the ancient world. And in chapter 19, Moses gives the instructions about gleaning in the harvest field. In verses 9 and 10 in Leviticus chapter 19, this is what Moses writes. Now, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. Moses told those that own fields, those farmers, that when you harvest your fields, don't harvest in the corners. Take your crew and go around the end, but leave the corners. And when he says there in verse 9, don't gather the gleanings, he's telling them, if as you're harvesting the barley or as you're harvesting the wheat, if something falls to the ground, let it stay there. So don't harvest the corners and let the stuff that falls stay on the ground. Verse 10 says, nor shall you glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather the fallen fruit of your vineyard. You shall leave it, shall leave them for the who? For the needy and for the who? For the stranger, the foreigner. That's Ruth. Ruth is the stranger, the foreigner. And then he says, for I am the Lord your God. So when Moses quotes God's instructions, God gives the Israelites these instructions about how to care for the poor and how to care for the stranger in your land. And then at the end of that instruction, he says, I am the Lord your God. In other words, you better do it because I'm really saying this. What's interesting about the ancient model of taking care of the poor and the ancient model of taking care of the foreigners in your land is that you don't give them entitlements, you give them opportunities. In the ancient world, if you were a farmer and you owned the harvest, you were to be generous. You were to leave the corners, and you were to leave anything that falls from the plant or falls from the tree or falls from the vine on the ground, because right after the harvesters or the reapers go through, the gleaners come. Now, the gleaners have to work hard. If you've ever worked in a field, you know that working in a field, picking crops, harvesting crops, that's a lot of hard work. And so in the ancient world, the reapers weren't told to bundle everything up and take it into town and just give it to the poor. No, you were inviting the poor to come to your property and to work hard to get what they needed to survive. So if you were poor, you worked hard. If you were the owner, you were generous. Does that make sense? In our culture today, we've taken maybe a little bit too far, and instead of making people in need work for what they should need, we tend to what? We tend to give it to them, and that might be good for a little while to get them back on their feet, but the better principle would be we don't give out free stuff, we give out free opportunities. And that's what we see here. So back to Ruth chapter 2. So now we understand when she says, let me go glean in a field among the ears of grain. Look what she says in verse 2. Among the ears of grain, after one in whose sight I may find what? Favor. Ruth is not just looking for some food for today. She's looking for someone to grant her favor. But you'll notice she took the initiative. She told Naomi, let me go do this. At the end of verse 1, Naomi said, go, my daughter. Verse 2, so she departed, and she went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come, if you like to underline key phrases, underline that key phrase, happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. Imagine that. And it says, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, he said to his employees, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. That was kind of their traditional greeting. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge, that's like the foreman or the superintendent, he said to in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So he noticed Ruth. In verse 6, the servant in charge of the reapers said, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. She said to me, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning, you'll notice that, until now, which is midday. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Most likely sitting in the house over the lunch break while the heat of the day is passing. Skip to verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. What do we know about Ruth trying to come to the land of Israel, trying to journey toward and with God? What we discover first is that she understood her role was hard work and wise initiative. Now, hard work is a principle all throughout the Bible. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 23, it says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk only leads to poverty. Proverbs 13 verse 4 says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. We move to the second part of your Bible, the New Testament. Paul writes this to the church in Thessalonica. He says this, and to aspire to live a quiet life and to mind your own affairs. Boy, that's good wisdom for today, isn't it? To work hard with your hands, Paul writes, so that we may walk properly before outsiders, those outside the church, and be dependent on no one. So hard work is an ethic that is promoted throughout the Bible. Ruth understood that and she engaged in it. So we know that she was assertive. Again, she says in verse 2, let me go and glean. And then when she meets the foreman in verse 7, she says, please let me go and glean. And as a foreigner, asking that request was kind of risky, but she did it. So she was assertive. Second of all, we understand she had a strong work ethic. She went out and gleaned, and she remained from morning until now. And in verse 17, it tells us until evening. So she worked hard from morning through the afternoon into the evening, and then she pounded out the barley and got about an ephah of barley. She was a hard worker. So we see in the first part of chapter 1, when Ruth is trying to journey back to God and trying to walk in the path of his favor, she realizes her role to play is to be a hard worker and to be assertive when it's wise to do so. We also see down there in verse 8 down through verse 13, we see that Ruth also had a respectable reputation. Look at verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, "Listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maid." So now Boaz is giving her a bit of a promotion, because now he is instructing her to not to just stay behind the maids, which the foreigner would have done and the poor people would have done, but now I want you to work with my maids. Verse 9, "Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you." I've told the employees, hey, they know you're a foreigner. They know you're from enemy territory, but I've commanded them to leave you alone. And then look what he says in verse 9. "When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from that, from what the servants draw." Wow. Don't go down to the creek and scoop your cup in there. I'm giving you permission to come and to drink from the very jars that my servants drink from. Look at her response, verse 10. "Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and she said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Boaz, why are you treating me so well?'" And look what he says. Boaz says to her in verse 11, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me." He heard about her reputation. And her reputation impressed him as a man of business and a man of wealth. And there are four things about her reputation that he mentions here. Number one, how you treated your family. All that you've done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband. Ruth had a wonderful reputation for how she treated her family and her extended family. Number two, how you left your father and your mother and the land of your birth. Ruth, you can make hard decisions and follow through on them, because you left your father, which means they're still alive. You left mom and dad. You left the land of your birth. Ruth, your reputation tells us you're the kind of person that can do hard things. Number three, you came to a people that you did not previously know. She had a good reputation in the community. And number four, verse 12, "May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge." He saw in Ruth a strong faith journey with the Lord. Wow, what a reputation. Ruth, you treat your family well. You're willing to do hard things. You have a good reputation in the community. And number four, everybody sees your faith journey, that you are a faithful follower of God. Aren't those four great qualities to have? So when he says that, he says, here's your kindness. Because of what you are and who you are, he says to Ruth, that's why I want you to drink from the jugs that my employees drink from. That's why I want you to stay with my maids. I'm not going to just make you be a normal poor person or foreigner as a gleaner in my fields. Your reputation has opened the door for me to give you a better opportunity. Boaz is kindness, a free opportunity. Notice he does not give Ruth a handout. He doesn't bundle up a bunch of food and give it to her. He does that later, but at this point, she still has to work hard for it, and he knows she will because she's a hard worker. Number two, Boaz gives his reasons that Ruth isn't just a kind person, and she hasn't had a good reputation for a minute and a half. She's had a good reputation for a long period of time. Her pattern of choices. See, reputation is created by our actions. It's not created by our words. Reputation is created by our actions. It's not created by our words. Ruth demonstrated these four incredible qualities, which together formed her reputation. And then we see Boaz, this wealthy businessman, blesses a foreigner. Look there again in verse 12. He says three kinds of blessings here. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full. And the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. He's saying, Ruth, your reputation has preceded you. I see that you are walking toward God in your journey. I see that you're trying to garner the favor of God, and I want to participate in that because of your reputation. And so I am blessing you. May your work be rewarded. May your wages be full, and may God protect you as you've placed yourself under his wing. That's a great blessing from a guy that doesn't even hardly know her. And this is what happens when we walk in the favor of the Lord. So Ruth's role, have a strong work ethic, take wise initiative, and develop a really solid, good, godly reputation. Now we see in the second half of the chapter, God's role for granting his favor. Now the picture on the screen, the image is not of God, it's of Boaz. Or at least my selection of Boaz. And the reason I put Boaz's picture next to the phrase God's role in granting his favor is because most of the time when God wants to grant people his favor, he uses other people to do it. God doesn't often directly intervene in an individual's life to demonstrate his favor. Sometimes we have in the Bible where God himself shows up and does something, but most of the time when God wants to grant his favor to his people, he uses other people to do the favor. Does that make sense? And in this case, it's Boaz. It's Boaz. We see God doing his part. Here's part of God's part. God provides divine direction and appointments. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever recognized a moment in your life or a moment in your life when you think, man, only God could have done that? God made that divine appointment. Because in my own brilliance, I could have never orchestrated what God obviously just orchestrated. Okay? And when that happens, that's God's favor on us. God is incredible enough to orchestrate in the lives of other people to think something, do something to grant you favor. And when your life and that person connect, it's obvious this is what God did this, because there's no way I could have done that. And that's what we see in Boaz's life. Look there again in verse 3. We're going to see this. So, again, this is the morning. Ruth is talking to Naomi. So Ruth departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz. Now, we know that this was not planned by Naomi or in Ruth, because if you skip down to verse 19, when Ruth came home that night, Naomi asked her, "Where did you glean today and where did you work? And whose field did you go to?" So this was not pre-planned. In fact, in verse 1, when we're told that Boaz is a close relative, apparently Naomi forgot about that. And Ruth departed the house, looking not only to go find a place to glean to get today's supplies, but to also find someone that would grant her favor, and the Lord directed her to Boaz's field. That's God's part. She just happened. Well, we know she didn't just happen. That was a divine appointment that God had orchestrated. That's his part. Now, we also know that Naomi happens to have a relative that she forgot about. So we have that Naomi happens to have a relative that is a wealthy man that's close to their family, to her husband Elimelech. We see that Ruth happens to stop at Boaz's field. And then we see there in verse 4, now Boaz came from Bethlehem. He just happened to come that day that Ruth happened to be in the field. And he just happened to notice her. Now, she would have not been a person of any significance in the process of harvesting the crops, because Boaz is there with his reapers and he wants to gather as much as he can, and he wants to protect them because that's the profit of all these months of work. And he knows behind the reapers are the gleaners, and yet he happens to come at the right day, that Ruth's first day on the job, and he happens to notice her in the back of the pack. And it's like, who could have orchestrated all this? God orchestrated it. Because God's job in helping us walk in his favor is to bring divine direction and divine appointments. Now, God brings us divine direction through several means. He brings us divine direction through his word. So the more time I spend in his word, it's amazing how you can read a story in the Bible and it applies to a situation you're facing in your life and gives you direction for that. Have you ever found that to be true? If you read the Bible regularly, you will be amazed how many times what you read jumps out at the page and gives you direction for a situation that you're facing. That is God doing that in your heart to give you his favor and show you what direction to go. Now, we want to do it systematically, not randomly. You know, years ago, you hear the story of somebody that said, God, I need your direction. So you just open up the Bible, stick your finger there. This is my direction, Lord. And it said, well, Judas went out and hung himself, okay? No, that can't be right. That can't be right. It can't be right. Let's try it again. Try it again. Go, therefore, and do likewise. No, that can't be God's direction for my life. But it is true. I mean, what did King David say? Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a direction giver. And if I want to walk in God's favor and get his divine direction, remember Jesus said, I and you and me. So there's got to be a relationship. Okay? Boaz noticed in Ruth that she was seeking refuge under the wings of the God of Israel. So there's relationship. My part to play in discovering God's favor is to be in relationship with him. And part of the way I'm in relationship with him is in prayer and in scripture reading, because he uses prayer to put ideas in our mind to give us direction. And he uses his word as a light into our path and a lamp into our feet and a light into our path to give us direction. If I'm not spending time in God's word, if I'm not spending time in prayer, I'm going to struggle in learning his direction. Now, God also provides direction for us through circumstances in life. He also provides it through other people. Okay? So he gives us direction in a lot of ways. If I'm willing to pause and listen and look with wisdom at life and try to see where God is leading me, you can be assured God is giving direction. Why? Because Jesus said, I want you to bear much what? He wants your life to be impactful. He wants my life to do it, to be impactful. So here we have Ruth going out in one day, on a single day. The relative of Boaz is revealed. In a single day, she happens to go to Boaz's field. And on that very day, Boaz happens to come to the field and recognize and see her. That's God doing that. That's God doing that. And let's go to the second part. Verse 13 says, then she said to Boaz, I have found favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and indeed have spoken kindly to your maidservant, even though I'm not like one of your maidservants, because she's a foreigner. Verse 14, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers. Did you catch that? She's not at the poor person's table. She's not at the foreigner's table. Boaz has invited her to the reaper's table to eat. Now look at this verse 14. So she sat beside the reapers and he served her. Wow. That's a huge statement in front of all those people. I mean, that is a statement of incredible favor. Now he served her roasted grain and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. Now guys, when you take a gal out on the first date, roasted grain's probably not the best menu. But the point is he treated her right. Verse 15. Then when she rose to glean, because remember, this is lunchtime, she's going to work hard. She's going to work the afternoon and the evening. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servants. Uh-oh, now he's not talking to her. He's talking to his servants. Let her glean even among the sheaves and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out for her some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. So what's he saying? I want you guys to, after we bundle the barley, remember, she's only allowed to pick from the corners or pick up what's off the ground. And so he tells his servants, don't insult her, leave her alone. And I want you to pull some of the sheaves out of the bundles and leave them on the ground for her. Because remember, these bundles would have been in the fields. He's looking after her. Verse 19, so she gleaned in the field until evening and she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied. Remember back there in verse 14, when she's eating lunch, Boaz gives her a bunch of grain, roasted grain. It says she was satisfied and she still had some left. She took it home and gave it to Naomi. Again, she's demonstrating how she loves her family. Verse 19, her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today? And where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. All of a sudden, the light goes on in Naomi's mind. Verse 20, Naomi said to her daughter, you got to catch this. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord. Watch this. This is so good. Blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Remember Naomi last week? She's what? She was bitter. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. And she blamed God four times for all the difficulties in her life. Now here she's beginning to change. And she once again says, may the Lord bless him, the Lord who shows his kindness. Now she's calling the Lord kind. We see a changing of her heart. Verse 20, again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. In fact, he is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth, the Moabite, said, furthermore, Boaz said to me, you shall stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maids so that others will not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest. Watch this. And the what? Wheat harvest. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Chapter 2 ends with Ruth now having a sustained provision, not just through the weeks of the barley harvest, but also into Boaz's what? Wheat harvest. And now she has received protection and provision, and it's sustained. She's good for a while now. God has not only given her divine direction, not only has set up divine appointments, but God provides strategic partners. Boaz's provision and Boaz's protection. Part of God helping us walk in his favor is that whatever God gives you direction to do, he will provide the strategic partners to help you get it done because he wants your life to be fruitful. Isn't that a great story? There's some great principles in this. If you and I will do our part, God will do his part, and our life will be impactful. Our life will be impactful. So our role in walking in God's favor is hard work and wise initiative. Don't expect God to just bring what you need to your doorstep. Take some initiative. Show some assertion, some assertiveness. Work hard from morning till night. God does not often provide what we need through the mail. He provides it through an opportunity in front of us. And no matter your age, young or old, if you have hopes and dreams that you believe God has for you in your life, and you want to have a life that makes a real difference in this world, God wants you to make a real difference. And if you'll do your part, he will do his part. Isn't that what that verse in the Bible says? God helps those who help themselves. Yeah. That's not in the Bible, you guys. It's not in the Bible. In the first service, this woman right down in this area called me out. That's not in the Bible. And I rebuked her and sent her out of church, okay? Don't correct me in front of the whole congregation like that. It's a good principle. It's not a verse in the Bible, but it's a good principle. We see this in Ruth. Hey, if you really want to walk in God's favor, you've got to be in relationship with him. So when he gives direction, you know it. You have to be close enough to God in your daily experience to know when he's moving. And so that when you read something or you're praying about something or when someone says something to you or when a circumstance comes about, you're like, that's the Lord. And if we're not walking him and me and I in him, like Jesus said, I'm never going to have that discerning heart. So I've got to do my part. And I have to keep a respectable reputation. I have to treat my family well. I have to be willing to do hard things. I have to try to keep a good reputation in the community. And I have to have a strong faith walk. That's what Boaz saw in Ruth. And then God will do his role in granting his favor. He will provide divine direction. He will provide divine appointments. And as we become sensitive to how God is working, those divine direction moments and those divine appointments will become more obvious to us. And we go, wow, God did that. And God will provide the strategic partners you need to accomplish what you believe God wants to do through your life. Because he knows if we really want to do something impactful for him, it's got to be bigger than just me doing it. It's got to be him doing it. I need to have a God-sized dream. Not just a Phil-sized dream. And if I have a God-sized dream or a God-sized vision, I need God to bring strategic partners to help fulfill that, and he'll put that same vision on other people's hearts, and all of a sudden there are people coming around to fulfill that vision, and when I see it happening, it's like, wow, God is doing his part, and I'm living for the moment in his favor. In his favor. That's our journey. Ruth's journey is our journey, isn't it? As we're walking with God, as we're walking toward God, He wants us to walk in his favor. And as I do my part, he does his part. And that's how we receive the blessings of the Lord. Let's pray. You know, before I pray, let's just take a moment and just let me ask you a couple questions, just between you and yourself. You know, as you think about Ruth's role in walking in God's favor, do you see those same qualities in your own life? Are you a hard worker? Are you assertive? Take initiative? Do you have a strong work ethic? It's our job to work hard every day. It's God's job to provide the opportunity. As you look at your own life, do you think other people see a good reputation in you? Do they see how you love your family? How you're willing to do hard things? That you have a good reputation in the community? And that you're a strong person of faith? Those are the things that we control. And then, do we see God working? Is He giving divine direction and appointments? Has He brought strategic people around you to help bring provision and protection? If we don't see those things, then we need to adjust. We can't just ask the Lord, "Lord, I'm going to do it my way and bless it." Because we see here in this chapter principles of walking in God's favor. Lord, thank you for this chapter. What a woman Ruth was. May we emulate her qualities of being a hard worker, taking initiative when needed, wise initiative. May we develop good reputations. May we build our life in a reputable way. May we love our families. May we be willing to do some hard things. May we have a good reputation in our community. And may we have a strong, obvious faith. And Lord, thank you that you're so faithful, that you really do want us to be fruitful. You say it over and over again in different ways throughout the Bible. You want our lives to make a real difference for your name. And so, Lord, if we look at our life and we realize it's not really that impactful right now, show us what we need to do. Thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, thank you for all the divine directions and appointments you've done in our life that maybe we haven't even realized. That can't be explained any other way except that you did it. And we're so thankful, Lord. May you surround us with the kind of people to help us with these things. And may we grow in our walk with you and in our journey with you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.